All right, on this episode of Bouts Talking Bouts, excited to be talking to an individual on the inaugural Tarps Off Fight Club event, and that goes in the welterweight division. As per Tapology, it is December the 18th, Lee Gaudette and Zach Powell getting out there and testing skills, and just a very intriguing fight all around, and happy to welcome Zach back onto the show once again. How's everything going there, man?
It's going super well, man. Everything's lining up well, I guess. Feeling great and training hard. That's about it.
Yeah, I imagine the methodology is similar in as far as still getting in that good hard work at Niagara Top Team.
Yeah, it's always the same story year long. Hard work, smart work, and just the best growing team in Canada right now. So we're always on that grind.
Yeah, and that's good you bring that up, actually, because I was talking to, you know, T'Shea Guthrow, and it seems like Niagara Top Team has been one of those teams for a while where, like, the localized kind of in-the-know people within the gym, like, they understand the overall power of NTT, but it seems like the broader kind of, like, awareness of what they're doing has increased in the larger MMA space overall. Is that something that you also see? Like, do you, you know, see the NTT growth and the broader MMA world being more aware of the killers out of Niagara Top Team in general?
Yeah, I'm definitely seeing it. Like, I moved here almost 2 years, like a year and a half now. And like, back when I moved here, like, yes, NTT was the real deal, but not a lot of people knew about it. And I was probably one of the first guys to actually move here to come train. And then, like, it just followed suit. A lot of people started, like, switching to NTT, moving across, like, 3 to 6 hours to come train with us. You got other gyms cross-training with us. And, like, then we got, like, Chris going out to places like Vegas. I know they went to Team Alpha Male before. So we're kind of, like, expanding and going everywhere, taking in stuff from some of the top gyms in the world just to become one of the top gyms ourselves.
Yeah, for sure. Having that core sort of collective and then cross-training, you know, shoring up different skills from different places. Like, it seems like Aaron Jeffrey was out in Vegas for a fair bit, but has kind of returned back to the fold recently in Niagara there. It seems like the 5 a.m. club is back and running.
Yeah, the actual 5 a.m. club, but we start at 8:30, but still, that's early for us. But yeah, I really appreciate getting some work in with Apiary. Happy to have him back. I know it's like talking to him, like, he loves being here way better for coaching, but training partners is something harder to come across for him, someone his size and his skill level. I got a bit chunky after my last fight, gained a bit of weight, so I'm been a decent training partner for him, I'd like to believe. We're around the same weight, you know, like, probably just a 10-pound difference compared to like 20, 30 before. So we get to go live together and give him a good go.
Yeah, you make the joke that you're a little chunky now. Is that why this one is welterweight as opposed to like a lightweight go around?
Yeah, it's just 165. It's a catch weight. Okay. I don't mind either, like 155, 170. Yeah, I'm like, I can make 55 or 70, doesn't matter to me. But I'm kind of like thinking for a fight like this, like, if I can, I've seen Lee fought at 165 before, so if I can get away from cutting that extra 10 pounds and just going out there and scrapping, like, that's good with me. That sounds great.
Yeah, no doubt. And even just what you said there, just even being aware that he's had a previous catch weight bout, it seems like there's at least some level of awareness as to, you know, his past, what he brings to the table as a fighter. Like, what are your overall, I guess, assessments of Lee Gaudette as you head into this fight here?
I'm trying to not look at his record, because I know he's way better than what he puts out. Like, he's fought some tough guys, he's lost some tough fights, but he always brings it. He's always a competitor. He's a jiu-jitsu black belt. He's got some decent striking skills. So to my thinking, like, it's going to be the same old pow-pow, going in to out-wrestle people and using that wrestling that to set up some shots on the feet or just dominate on the bottom, on the bottom, like get him on the bottom. I don't play that bottom stuff. Yeah, it's going to be like the same old where wrestling is going to be the deciding factor, and that's just going to keep happening until I fight these guys that are actually good at wrestling. Because in Canada, like other than NTT, I can't name very good fighters in Canada that have decent wrestling in MMA. Like I don't see any other than the guys training with us. So it's going to be the same thing until I get up to that higher level, UFC or Bellator or wherever I end up.
Yeah, well, it seems like such a ripe scene for just, like, proficient grappling. Like, I mean, the Brock University wrestling team in close proximity seems like those guys have been in the gym a decent bit and crossing a little bit there. And, I mean, Chris Prickett seems like an awesome mind for the wrestling and integrating it into an MMA sort of context. So, invaluable resources and a great surrounding scene for that, it seems.
Yeah, Prickett is definitely probably one of the best to incorporate, like, wrestling into MMA. Like, he really adapts the game perfectly for his style, but like he still keeps that grinding mindset with like a wrestling mentality versus like a Brazilian jiu-jitsu mentality. Well, wrestling is going to put a pace on you and it's going to tire you out, and you're not used to being in those deep waters when you're grappling in jiu-jitsu, but when you're wrestling, like it sucks. Like you gotta embrace it and you gotta get used to finding that dark place. And like I said, like Lee is a scrapper. He brings the fight, but I don't think he's used to being in that dark place when someone just like actually crushing him and out wrestling him and throwing him and putting so much weight on him that he doesn't know what to do and how to figure it out.
Yeah, the usual Zach Powell grinding methodology for sure. I also noticed his nickname is The Beard. Like, what are your thoughts on his beard? It looks like he's got some pretty good scruff there going.
I don't know. I've seen one of his fights from 2017, and that's about it. That's all I saw. Like, I didn't see anything else. I don't know if he had a beard on it or not. I look at the skill, not the looks.
You don't have any attribute points with the beard or anything like that? Like, that kind of thing?
Nah, the only thing I got to know is his mullets. That's about it.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. I get what you're laying down there, but I kind of wanted to briefly touch on the last go-around there because, I mean, you had the one post saying you're only as good as your last performance, but it seemed like that last one was fairly frustrating in as far as it seemed like a lot of people were coming out thinking that you had won the fight there and everything like that. Dario Sinagoga ultimately getting that split decision there. Like, what is your takeaway on that fight now? Like, is the sentiment still largely the same it was in like the weeks after the fight? Has the sentiment changed in any discernible way? Like, what are your thoughts on that last go around with, you know, BFL at their 67th card?
It's been a few up and downs, you know. There was like a point where I thought about just not fighting anymore, because I don't know, it was kind of like, I felt like it was unjust and couldn't kind of believe it was happening. And then I got back into the gym and like, I was back in the gym anyways, contemplating like, do I still want to do this? And then I just switched my mentality when I got this fight offer and kind of adapted like the Sean O'Malley mindset where like I'm like, fuck that. Like, I'm undefeated. I'm 5-0. And this one, I'm going to be 6-0. And there's a reason Dario doesn't want to fight me anymore. There's a reason BFL cleared me of my contract, because they know I'm going to go out there. I would smash Dario. I would smash that Achilles guy that looked like a complete bomb at Contender Series. I think, like, there's a reason I'm out of BFL. And that's because they're trying to just bum feed their fighters and just saw what I did to Dario, and just going to wash your hands with it and have me leave and go fight my own fights and build my own career, and I'm totally fine with that.
Yeah, and that's interesting because I figured the contract had kind of, you know, ended there, but the last time we spoke, you were saying there was like a 3-fight contract in place with BFL, but a release clause dependent on maybe if outside sort of options pop up there. Like, was there a bit of like a rocky kind of split there? Was it sort of an amicable, like, whatever, you're not satisfied with how things were handled here, go off and do your thing? Like, how would you characterize that end of it, I guess?
I mean, they blocked me on Instagram when I called them out on not offering me matched up against Dario. They just gave it to Kyren. And then they had like this interim title fight between Kyren and some guy from the States. And like, I like Kyren. I train with him. He's a good guy, but he's coming down from 170, getting finished. And I just clearly beat the number one contender. I am the number one contender, and they're not even talking to me to fight him again, even when Dario was calling for a rematch, because he knew clearly, like, he fucking had a horseshoe up his ass for that one, for that call. So, yeah, it was a rocky split. I called him out on Instagram. I made a, like, story post about it. They blocked me, and a week after, I got released, and it was kind of like, that's when I wanted to restart fighting again. Like, I don't think I wanted to quit. I just think I didn't want to fight for BFL or anywhere in BC anymore. And just that release there lit a fire back up and brought the passion back and reminded me why I do this and why I love it so much.
So it seems like maybe the discontentment is more with, like, how, I guess, the promotion and maybe the surrounding regulatory body handled things, as opposed to there being a singular kind of issue with Dario per se. Because like you were saying, it seemed like he wanted to facilitate doing the rematch. Or is there still a little bit of, I don't know, I don't want to say bad blood per se, but like a level of, you know, prickliness almost? I mean, he did like miss weight leading into the fight, and there was a couple facets where it seemed like that was a thing. So is it more of like a thing with the promotion, I suppose, or is there still some individual, you know, grudge kind of components with Dario, as it were?
Yeah, so 100% the promotion. Like, Dario got the win, but he laid low. He disappeared on social media. He knows I'm a better fighter. And like, I understand that he doesn't want to fight me again. Like, it's scary to go in there and not knowing what to do when someone takes you down and not being able to stop it. It's, you know, like, after 15 minutes, you're probably on the ending side, losing side of that fight. It's not fun. And whatever, like, if Dario, like, wants to move on to different things, like, I'm fine with that. Like, it's, like, regional fighting. I don't care. I just want to make it to UFC. What I'm upset with is BFL and how they've handled this whole thing. And to me, it's not a professional organization. Like, they call their title fights world title fights, and they have betting odds going for the fights, but you can't even bet anywhere. Like, it's just jokes. Like, they're not for real. They just bum feed their champs, and I don't have much to say about them, and don't care much about them either, but I don't think they're as good as they think they are. I think any promotion in Canada is better than BFL. They're just lucky to be the only one in BC to get a fight pass deal.
It's an interesting sort of time in the career for sure, though. I mean, it's cool to hear that you had the fire kind of relit, or I guess more so realizing what the feeling was in that kind of situation there. But just being back in, or rather being in the Niagara region for the last little bit, I mean, you mentioned it's been closer to, you know, a year and a half, and just been a cool path there, it seems like. I mean, going from living at Chris Prickett's house for a little bit to having your own place in the Falls and stuff like that. Like, how has that been going lately? Just getting to, you know, ready yourself for fighting in the adoptive hometown of Niagara Falls.
It's super nice. I'm probably like a 2-minute drive away from where I'm fighting, so that's cool. It's the closest I've ever fought to where I live. We're allowed fans, so I'm going to have a lot of my friends here. My family's going to come down from Ottawa, come watch the fights. Yeah, it makes things easy. I don't have to worry about traveling. I know I got everything here. Yeah, it's convenient. It's fun. But at the end of the day, it's still the same thing and going to get the job done. So it's just going to get the job done in a more convenient way this time.
Yeah, and I would think that this is the first instance whereby you've had a lot of, you know, family and friends checking you out competing since that Adam DeFreitas fight at PFC 13, just because you were in the States for your Yemi Odewale fight, and the Dario fight, as we mentioned, was in BC there. So that must be cool. Just been, you know, close to 2 years now since friends and family have got to see you compete. I imagine that galvanizes your strong drive that much further.
Yeah, it's nice, and it's super close to Christmas as well, so get to kill two birds with one stone. Just watch me, finally can come down, watch me fight. We can celebrate Christmas after. We're going to stay a bit and then back at it and hopefully get a fight early next year.
yeah, I get to have the fight and then actually enjoy some of the holiday food and stuff like that, not like focusing on a diet and making weight and all that.
Yeah, that's it. Focus on making weight, and then I'll get to enjoy Christmas a bit.
Yeah, no, that'll be really cool for sure, man. And yeah, I remember the last time we were talking, it seemed like the side business you had going was popping off a little bit, like the NFT kind of stuff. I remember you were a fair bit into. Is that something you've still been keeping up with as of late there?
Yeah, I still do NFTs. I still do a lot of sports cars. I'm into crypto. I'd say sports cars is what's kicking off the most. Like, I'm probably have like about a collection of like probably 50 grand right now, and like probably when finding's done, I'll have more and be able to open up like a car shop or something cool like that. There's definitely a few business ventures I'd like to take part in. Some of them I've started already, but I got like, you know, I'm super aware that like fighting is a short part of my life. It's going to be always a part of my life. I'm going to be coaching after, probably be involved in different ways, but competing as an athlete, I probably have maximum 10 to 12 years left if I'm lucky. So I'm just staying open to other opportunities. So I have still something like making me happy when I'm done.
Yeah, that's really interesting. So there would be a level of interest in like opening up a sports memorabilia kind of store. Is that sort of what you were laying down there?
Yeah, sports memorabilia or like a card shop, or who knows where it takes me. It could be like a coffee shop or cars, or like I've got plenty of ideas. I just don't have the time right now to like actually own a business, like a business where I have to be there 24/7, and I won't have the time for a while. But like I said, like once fighting is over, like I'm going to have acquired skills in different aspects that would lead me to be successful in running a business, I believe.
Yeah, well, it seems like you're handling it well, like laying the groundwork on the side with that and then readying for when the career wraps up there. So, I mean, yeah, very cerebral, methodical approach there for sure. But yeah, I saw you dropped the Spotify Wrapped kind of list a little bit there. Is that like the main stuff you're training in the gym? Like, are you putting that on the aux cord at NTT there, or is that more like the drives to and from sort of thing, like the Jack Harlow and Blink 182 and all that?
That's more like probably the drive there, probably some training, a mix of all. I mix it up. I listen to a lot of music. Like, those are like my top songs, but I have like a playlist with like my 2021 wrapped up, and there's probably like 150 songs on it. I just listen to everything. Lately, I've been doing a lot of WWE songs. I'm actually walking out to a WWE theme song for the fight, so that's been what I've been listening to the most lately.
That's curious. Can we maybe get a hint as to what WWE theme song it will be, or perhaps more of a you gotta come to the show and hear it sort of deal?
The hint is you suck. That's it.
All right. Well, I mean, I definitely am picking up on which theme song that is, and yeah, that'll be a good one. So you're looking to get the heel reaction? That's kind of curious, because you'd presume that, you know, with that being your adopted hometown, you'd get the babyface kind of reaction as opposed to wanting to get the heel heat, to use pro wrestling parlance.
Nah, everybody hates me. That's the truth of it all. Like, I'm a piece of shit in the gym. I get under people's skin, and I've always been that way, so the heel is really fitting.
That's hilarious. I can't tell if you're being tongue-in-cheek right now or not, because you seem like a real nice, casual guy to me. But, I mean, we only do, like, the interview kind of context sort of stuff, so perhaps I'm missing something. But you always struck me as a nice guy.
No, I'm a major shit-talker in the gym, but it's all, like, banter. But it gets people very, gets them going, you know? Like, I used to play hockey, and it was, like, more of a, like a rat, like a Brad Marchand kind of player, and it stuck with me, and I get under people's skin, and I kind of enjoy it. So kind of like lay low in the MMA world is like when I'm fighting someone, but like when someone actually does piss me off, like Dario, like I'll talk some shit. Like I'm fine with that.
Well, I feel like I learned something new today there, but I want to be mindful of the busy schedule, as I was saying earlier in the chat and whatnot. So to that point, Zach, is there anything that you maybe want to add kind of as a parting thought as we're wrapping up here, man?
No, that, I mean, if people buy tickets, just use code NTT, save yourself a nice 10%, use it on Christmas gifts or, you know, whatever you want. But it's definitely worth coming to watch the fights. It's going to be a good night, and I feel like Tarps Off are really gonna kick things off with a bang here. They've been talking to me a lot, and I feel like going all in on production aspect and people looking to have at the event. Like, if you're a big Jake Shield fan, well, he's going to be there. And like, these people there you'll get to meet that are pretty cool and probably fun to talk to. So it's MMA, but if you want to come out and network and meet some cool people, well, it's also a good event for that.
Yeah, it seems like a great look. I mean, the arena looks awesome. It's going to be broadcast on Fight TV. And yeah, like you said, the production value seems like it's going to be top-notch for sure. And definitely looking forward to that card, which goes down on December the 18th. And as part of the inaugural Tarps Off Fight Club event, Lee Gaudette and Zach Powell testing skills. And yeah, great getting to have you on the show once again, man. Always fun chatting a little bit. Looking forward to hearing the Kurt Angle song. I don't know if I'm going to be chanting "you suck" at you, but at the same time, all the same, looking forward to the fight. And yeah, you have a good rest of your day, man.
Thanks, man. I really appreciate it. Have a great day.